City Council for coming around to give us this information. But before we start,
sorry, Chair, I just wanted to say that Honourable Kamok is running a few minutes late, but he will be joining us.
Okay, thank you. Tebi and your community, we welcome you. I don't know whether you want the members of the committee to introduce themselves, or maybe you are the only one who knows who is here, but I think they have to be there to introduce ourselves. And this is normal, and I have to chair this committee. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. My name is Lucinto Makubelamate.
Morning, Chair. My name is Zua Deva, member of the committee. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I am Chairman of the Consultant, a member of the committee.
Good morning, my name is Andrew Whitfield, and it's a pleasure to welcome you guys today. My name is Andrew Joseph, a member of the committee.
Good morning, everybody.
The amendment from the Secretariat. On my right is Dr. Kusufo Kubayo, he is the content advisor. On my left is Jerry Voltina, he is the secretary of the community. Next to Kusufo is, next to Dr. Kubayo is Fumi Yuli, the researcher. Thank you very much. The liaison officer from the department, I think, and the minister. I don't know whether she's part of the department or she's part of the committee, but I think she's part of the department. Those people from the department should be
My name is Sharma Yasu. I'm the parliamentary liaison officer in the Ministry of Office.
A good morning, I'm Peter Sinclair. I'm the former junior agent of the Secretary General's Office of the Government Services.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Teddy Gunene. I'm the Chief Quality Assurance Officer at the Children's Golden Campbell. I am accompanied by Mr. Titi Farrago Dhani, who is the manager marketing and communication within the Food Grading Council. Missing but running a bit late, Madam Chair, is our chairman for the award committee, Ms. Graham Wood. He's just starting to pass, he will be coming through the door in a minute.
Thank you very much. It's a real many different things. Thank you then. Can you start giving you a
then we'll deliver it.
Oh, sorry, before you
start. Can you have apologies, Mr. Chief? Thank you, sir. We've got three apologies that members. Honorable Adam is not coming to the meeting. Mr. Holt has apologized, and Mr. Nasser Hayden has also apologized. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Chair, it is indeed our pleasure, and we really appreciate the opportunity to come and coming around the members of the committee on the work carried out by the Children and Golden Council. By way of background, I think it's important for everybody to understand that in 2007, I started working at the Grading Council in 2007. And at the time, the Grading Council was a 1721 entity, and I was appointed the CEO of the 1721 entity. And it was shortly thereafter that we got to realize that there was no legal framework for this 1721 entity. So therefore, the Grading Council has to reintegrate back into the South of State Tourism because the Tourism Act at the time was very clear. The Tourism Act the Chinese selected for them, food brought with the market, and to also for them that the hotel and transportation system in the country. So here is the great impact of the launch of the tourism, so we have to reintegrate. So for almost 2 years we were basically integrating all our certification to our tourism. And my cattle then has to take the other so the country is CEO, talking to the CEO of the tourism. So therefore, the cattle of each policy assurance officer are sort of developed out of that integration. As we have, we now have the tourism, the new tourism act in front of us, the tourism act 3 of 2014, which then calls probably for the establishment of the tourism grading council. So going forward, the tourism grading council is recognizing the act as a standalone entity, and I think the interim is we are still operating as a business unit of South African tourism. And until the minister decides to separate, or so the appropriate body decides that then for us to separate and go our separate way from South African tourism. But up until that time, we remain a business unit of South African tourism. I report to the CEO of South African tourism. Who, by the way, Madam Chair, sends the apologies. You know that they are all at midnight today, and I'm excused from the meeting because of the meeting. So I thought this was important background to give just to show the team and following of this part of the Grading Council. When I arrived, the Grading Council was extending the time longer, and the policy challenges at the time, we were internally focused. You know, the assets are, for example, were literally just operating as this kind of, more importantly, they were managing their own invoices. You know, they would invoice their customers and those of us, create work happening there, and there was no real internal processes and systems itself. This was we focused on that stage. And the second strategy session was held under Mr. Peter Bacon, who was the next chairman. That served until June of 2012. Through Mr. Bacon, we then cleaned the house. We then focused on how to really enhance the credibility of the grading council externally. We focused on the stakeholders in the state, then focused on how best we launched a set grading criteria that the team of the supervisors was a huge consultation process with the industry that took place. A lot of unhappy people because we were changing things. The criteria that was updated was updated accordingly, and people that used to be faster would no longer become faster because it was a little bit more specific and more comprehensive. Just a quick example, at Foster we now demand as much as a flat panel television screen, and not those, you know, sometimes we get to a Foster B&B and you still find an old TV with a bomb and you still need no remote control, you have to stand and go. So we really needed to update our grading criteria so that we are world class and we can compete with international population. Similarly, issues of life connectivity. I'm sure now you can even conceive what life goes to the 4 or 5 hours with no Wi-Fi connectivity. Wi-Fi is a must, and therefore we needed to make sure that our criteria move with the requirements of the customer. And we also introduced the 3 memberships, tying people into the grading council. It is a voluntary system, it remains a voluntary system, but we want people to commit to quality for the use of these 3 years. I'm the representative of Mr. Ray Moore, who is coming now. My screen blessing to the group. Mm-hmm. what we're focusing on is the changes that we've cleaned up our house, we've now entrenched ourselves within the industry. How then do we make sure that graded establishments stay graded, they stay committed to quality, and make sure that they offer a quality experience for all our visitors? And that's where our focus strategies now lie. Key to this is the basket of benefits, which we are actually launching on Monday. Very, very exciting. We will make sure that we send a link to paper and you can go in and have a look and see what it is that we've just managed to introduce for creating settlement. So here I'm talking about tangible basket of benefits for people who are graded and how it will help to improve their business, strengthen their business, and at the same time improving on skills across the sector. We are cognizant of the Petroleum Act, which calls for the establishment of more grading schemes, particularly as the Act says, it talks about services, facilities and products. What exactly that means is going to still be determined by what we understand is the focus group within or the implementation team within NDC. They're looking at the implementation of the New Tourism Act. What exactly will do the priorities of the center? This diagram simply indicates what our understanding is from a very country perspective. We can go the low and truth. So right now we only focus on accommodation. So with the UX, we're going to go into tourist attractions, places of interest, we're going to go into tour operators, we're going to go into restaurants. Those are the very things that if you look at the tourists, people have experience. They have to eat somewhere, they have to eat somewhere, and then they go to places of interest. Their whole experience must be world class, and it must have a standard stamp of approval. So this is what we mean by the low-hanging fruit, and then some ideas that we have shared with the department. I am part of the implementation plan in terms of the and the Grading Council. I know this is a slightly busy slide, but it summarizes the Grading Council. If I was to be asked to give one slide, what we do with the Grading Council, this is the slide. In terms of our vision, which is far forward-looking, we want to be internationally recognized, credible and predictable brand that stands for quality and industrial experience. In other words, we want anybody that visits this country, when they see the stamp that says Grading Council or our plant, they must just associate it with quality and induced experience. And we do this through the knowing that if we manage to achieve it, we strengthen brand Sarafica. Sarafica is a tourism brand, and so that it's a very strong brand because we'll be implementing a recognizable, a credible, globally benchmark system of quality assurance for tourism facilities which can be relied upon. Madam Chair, may I call to welcome our Action Manager and our committee, Mr. Graham Wood.
Morning, Chair. Sorry, apologies.
Welcome, Chairperson of the Grading Council. Thank you for coming. We were already made aware that somehow we are today, and we are aware that NPU is not a very wonderful route, especially in the morning. But you're welcome.
Thank you. Just when you fly from Durban and only five people on the flight, you put your off to a good start. Then only to be chatting about the land and highway.
Even the company is not like not effort. The effort in terms is not flying South African within their
thank you, Madam Chair. So in terms of our strategic objectives, there are two main strategic objectives. Actually, the second key objective came as a brief by NDC 2 years ago. The first one being, our job is to create establishments accurately. Make sure that the one side, the one side, four side, four side, wherever you go in the country. That is the objective to then recognize performance of people who are really doing service excellence in this country. People who are doing a proud and making sure that they spread the word that South Africa is a great place to visit the UK. And then through the Developer Tourism Award, I don't know if you've heard of the Developer Tourism Award, but it's a very exciting program which is now implemented by Tourism Grading Council. The strategic goals also, when it comes to the creating of the establishment, include three key things. For us, the credibility of the applicants and the level of their skills and their reputation in the industry is key to ensuring the Grading Council stands. The grading process and the grading criteria, another very key aspect, without which it might well close down the Grading Council. I mentioned earlier, and made an example of Wi-Fi connectivity in hotels, flat screen televisions, etc., etc. Those issues are very important for us. And how we develop those criteria and the level and extent of the consultation with the industry are absolutely key for us. Then the last one is in the basket of the network. It has been the struggle for the Tourism Grading Council every day to convince people to stay graded, remain graded. It's good for you. It's good for your business growth. And so if you grade it, there's more product that will come because of the enhanced experience that you offer.
But somehow people still, you know, like I'm not getting booking and you don't get any discounts, etc., etc. So as I mentioned earlier, we are on Monday launching this very tangible basket of benefits above the other benefits of being graded. Our current audience for us remains establishment. This slide in a roundabout sort of way I'm indicating what it is that the grading council does and who wants what to do best and also who is willing to pay for it. Remembering that grading is a 12-month data that you do and you pay for grading because we can't offer it to service. So the establishments are the people that we service, and if we service them well, in the manner in which we service them as a tourism grading hustle. The first is the ultimate beneficiary at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. If we make sure that we are grading establishments accurately, appropriately, we enhance their skills, we ensure that they get to do what they do best, the people who are the tourists. Yes, it's important to also talk to tourists and both domestic and international travelers, not just international. When we say tourists, we mean both domestic travelers and international travelers. Of course, it's important to tell tourists, this is what a one-time South Africa means, this is what you get minimum, and in the 5-star, you must expect this and this and the other. But the key people for us is the commission. Having said that, the other stakeholders that we have identified and engaged on a regular basis are tourists, obviously, ASETA, who are another very key pillar of the tourism grading council, because they are the ones who do the physical assessment of properties on site and engage with the establishment owner. The trade, very important for us, for all the institutions such as SEDASA, CBCSA, which is the Tourism Business Council of South Africa, the National Accommodation Association, etc. So those are really important stakeholders for us. Yesterday, Madam Chair, I had the privilege, and actually it was a great experience, to go to Westgrove. They had all the regions of the Western Cape, of the six regions, the head of the regional tourism organization. They had a meeting. And it's the only province so far that we deal with that has coordinated, I think it's a quarterly meeting of the regional tourism organization in one room. And to be able to get all the regions sitting in one room and to communicate and we address all their concerns and we explain to them the importance of grading and why when they go back to their regions they can then communicate this meeting to the trade and the local tourism organization. That was very beneficial and very important for us. And it assisted us to make sure that everybody understands the value of grading at the same time in the same manner and we address all their concerns. So it would be great if all the other provinces can actually facilitate something like that or work in that manner. By having a tourism authority or tourism a provincial body coordinate the regions in one meeting, that was excellent for us. Because in the past, it meant people as a marketing manager myself, we would have to come to the Western Cape, Southern or Asia, going to the different places and addressing the different regions. But having a quarterly meeting in one place, it was really, really fantastic, and everybody actually said so. And for us, we believe it's a model that other countries should be actually following to ensure a smooth management of all tourism issues across the countries. So when it comes to establishments, obviously graded establishments are a priority, but you also speak to those who are ungraded, because they may not be aware why they need to be graded and what the benefits, not only themselves, but to the country and tourism in general, are. Obviously, those who are cancelled, these are very concerned. Why have you cancelled? You know, what are the reasons you cancelled? And again, various reasons from, you know, I can't afford it anymore, it's too expensive to grade. But what we also find is that a lot of people cancel because they cannot keep up the quality, which is the single biggest cost. It's not to say the cost of getting graded, but to keep up that level of quality, you have to change the cancel. You have to replace the heat, etc. So that is where some of the challenges are coming from. The grading process, very simply, is an online application process that you follow. Unfortunately or fortunately, you have to pay the invoice before we send out an assessment. Because there's various challenges. If we send an assessment and after forget find the song, so you are not poster, actually you are solista. Then you decide, you know, they are not paying you, you know, so we, then you run the risk of not having not being able to get the assessor paid. Remember, assessors are not employees, they are self-employed entrepreneurs and they can pay a percentage of the grading fee. So this is the only, this is the only funding model so far for the children going country that has been affordable. So you have to make an invoice, the main assessor visits you, that physical check in the property, and then submit the proposal for either to, if you're a new establishment, to, for us to approve the proposed start grading, or if you're a renewal establishment, or for us to maintain the renewal establishment, or to upgrade or to downgrade, whatever is applicable at the point of the visit. The assessor then submits to what we call provincial master assessors. Provincial master assessors are employees of the Tourism Grand Council. Full time, their job is to double check that the assessor submission is accurate, check on the photographs, check on the website of the property, and basically it's another control measure that never used to exist before, but you now have it, and it really, really helps to improve quality in terms of the submission for the assessor. And then following that pre-screening approval by the computer master assessor, the property then comes to what we call a monthly property approval ex-committee. It's an ex-committee, it's an executive function, with I chair the human property and the chief quality assurance officer. So all my whole op team, after the meeting, and then go through all the properties that are submitted. And we do reject some properties also at that point to say, actually, you know, after everybody considered that we should wait properties, et cetera, et cetera, we pay all attention to all the submissions. The work committee, following the property approval meeting, then we award the appropriate staff grading to the property. And then they can get then the letter of congratulations for choosing to get graded. Here's the star grading, here's the collateral, and here's the class and certificate. Or if the renewal, we send a similar letter saying, congratulations, thank you for deciding to stay graded. And then on a quarterly basis, anyone who is unhappy with the whole process, there's an appeal process that goes then to Mr. Graham Wozniak as the award committee. Then people can table their appeals. The award committee, the award committee also is responsible for making sure that they guide the Tourism Grade Council, they make sure that we stay in touch with the industry trends and that we're doing the right thing, make sure that the part of the industry is that they connect with the industry because they all come from the private sector, the award committee. And Graham, I don't want to mention any other thing regarding the award committee and the responsibility at this point.
Correct, David. Yeah, I think the SMB Educator, the Awards Committee is made up of about 10 or 11 independent private sector people who represent a component half of the industry that impact on tourism. So we have somebody who represents someone from the decor and furnishings industry, etc. So when we advise us on when we change the grading criteria, consider the grading criteria, what should we be contemplating with regards to new things in that specific area of expertise, etc. So the majority of the award committee members are out of the hospitality industry, so they are, like myself, hoteliers or ex-hoteliers, who have some level of credibility and standing within the hospitality industry so that we can help drive not only the strategic direction of the grading council, but act as solid ambassadors for the furthering the objectives of grading council for the greater hospitality and tourism industry. I'll speak a little bit later to maybe in a sum up, a summation as to what I think some of the key issues of the grading council are going forward. It's probably just the right and appropriate time.
Thanks. I just put up one example, one category, when indicating the kind of scrutiny that we give different properties. This is the kind of criteria and forms that we look at. For example, when it comes to bedroom, we look at the decor, the furniture, electronic appliances. You know, my favorite example is you take him to this white profile tower shop. If he wants to stay in the corner, you just shower and raise him because great, you want to make yourself your work or tea. You sit on the kettle, it doesn't work. You know, you're really your dummy, you can't go to the section and exercise. So that is what we're talking about. We test everything in the shower. The guy gets in the shower and open the shower and flush the toilet at the same time. He says in everything working properly. So that when you as a visitor come in, you don't have a shower when you decide to shower only a complete circle of drops following your head or the, you know, the pot is not strong enough to cool the shower head, etc., etc. So there's real attention being paid to the visitor experience from the minute, from the parking, starting as we enter into the building, the parking, the walk from parking to reception, especially because also the key thing with the renewed or the new green criteria in 2010, UA criteria is compulsory, or compulsory grading of UA criteria. You don't use your quality star rating at this point, but UA accessibility is part of the compulsory grading that we insist on. And unfortunately, not many properties are coming up with UA criteria, but there are a few, and we are increasing the awareness as we go along. So this is, I'm going to give an example of what it is that we look for, and what it is that the assessors, as they walk around the building, they look for, and they then assess appropriately. And all of the criteria and the categories are up to 1,000 points in total. So, and this comes from, before 2010, before we could do the new criteria, it was out of 400 questions. We now have over 1,000 points at this point. As I mentioned earlier, the three memberships. This is very important for us to make inputs of the grading council because, as I mentioned, it does force the establishment to commit themselves to 3A. It's a voluntary system, they join voluntarily, but when they join, they are saying to us, yes, I understand quality is important for tourism in South Africa, and yes, I herewith agree, I will make sure that at least for the next 3 years, I protect from grading the brand and indeed South Africa, and it also stops people from using the stars yearly. Because the past has shown that people get themselves graded year one, and then they don't grade the following year. But guess what? They continue using all our stars, they plug it on the wall, their website is full of things because you can't police that. It's very difficult. I mean, if I sit in the office and then you get a phone call from the Northern Cape, there's a property not graded, but they keep using it, then your plug, please come and force them to take it down. Those are the dynamics that we face. We are doing it, we have very limited resources, so maybe say only one employee whose sole job is to follow up on those properties. We have opened a few communications on the case numbers, but you know, you and I can guess what exactly the outcome would be. Our police, the last thing they need is an additional workload around the moving side. But we go all the way through. What is the current thing is that now that we have this gentleman, his name is Marcus, when Marcus starts calling, he's like a bush area. He phones, he hounds them, and they actually do the moves, you know, at the last minute. Like, I start calling and threatening and threatening, and then finally they remove. Oh, it seems that just getting upgraded. It's not the same, you know, as opposed to all the fights that you have to do with the great company. We haven't had to take anyone to court yet. We're not at that stage yet. But I think what people realize that you're going to name and shame them, but that's what finally persuades them to remove the sign. It's not ideal, but that is where we are right now. And the three years membership also will enhance the consumer confidence. It will help South Africa enhance consumer confidence because we know that if something's graded, for the next 3 years we know that I'm going to maintain a particular standard. And then they will know that I can go back to the B&B because I know the standard I'm going to get, I know the kind of service that I'm going to get. And although it's a 3 year membership that people sign up for, it is important to also note that at any point in the 3 years, they can just give us 3 months notice to edit the system. But they need to give us a notice because then for us, it makes it easier for, especially from a CFMA perspective. Because what happens is, as a public entity, First of all, you're saying you can't send a letter to you unless you pray and your grading fixed, because you have to know that you're committed. And then we can have the cost of sending that letter. And for you to pay, we need to issue you with an invoice and a valid invoice. Now, the PSMA says, as a public entity, if you issue an invoice, you must demonstrate that you have collected that money. That's just the principle of the PSMA. So we sit in a very interesting situation where you can apply to get graded, and we issue with an invoice, and but then the second day you decide, actually, I don't want to get graded anymore. But if you don't give us a notice and we can't set up the system, then the invoice generates itself. I mean, we send automated system, but only before the current date, actually 4 months before, we send you a new one later. Then you get your invoice, and if you don't pay, then you become a legal debtor, in the world of PSMA. Although we have not incurred any cost in sending an assessor, etc., etc., but if we don't follow up on the debt, then we send the agenda of getting a money from an officer's debt. But we need to demonstrate that we have a bullet on that on the data. So that's why we encourage people to get yourself, it's a 3-year thing, sign up, but if you want to leave the system, please make sure you give up money to the market. That's all. So, and don't count the legal data. And then also encourage these people to really just obey business rules. This is a simple business process. If you are in business, no matter how small you are, from the rural area, wherever, if you are in business, these are the rules, just apply by your rules. This was written notice and you want to look for a new credit card or becoming a legal data. This card just quickly shows you how we are structured. It's myself as a credit counsel. There's one marketing manager in my list with only one very capable marketing assistant. And then there's the manager of operations, who actually is the engine of the group grading council, because she has the provincial master assessors reporting to her, one of the people that double check the work of the assessor, and then the assessor is the service provider that's reporting to the master assessor. I also have the new position as a brand manager in the developers in my world, and she then assists managing and all the logistics around the judge and probably the tourism award. So it's also the 30 full-time employees of the tourism grading council, together with 52 assessors that are running around the country producing the digital establishment. Coming to that, the award commission members, as Mr. Wood has already mentioned, they come with various experiences and expertise, particularly in the universal disability sector, hospitality sector, the court vehicle, architecture, and various categories within the various categories, hotel, caravan, camping, etc. And as the chief quality assurance, I'm the fourth member of the committee, with my management team in attendance. There's Mr. Wood there. They're on the control of the don't have it in the document, but two large files written by email. So these are the people, just so you know, because some of you may know the people. I'm also a specialist in visual accessibility. She is quite busy. Ms. Montana Toyala, she is an architect. Caroline Omerbach, a very, very busy lady, very involved in the national accommodation sector, the guest accommodation sector. J.D. Kagmanathan, currently with the PMO group. Tony Hazel, very strong in the self catering industry. Mr. Alan Robert, currently running the Cape Town Hotel School. We have Judy Gomez, Alan Zobu, very strong when it comes to catering and decor. Nico Sakal, very much in the decor and architectural side as well. We've got Mark Olea in the caravan camping and backpacking and hosteling sector. Nina Fred and Gloria in the meat sector. This is the meetings, exhibitions, and special events. Actually, we're first appointed to show the chairman of Sashi, the conferencing industry. And Nina Timoshwana, she actually was the top right Techers Woman of the Year in 2011. But she also is in the sector of the food, runs the very successful operation in Northwest. So that's our committee, in case you know any of the faces. Please acknowledge the work that they do next time in them. When it comes to the SFFU, this is how it is split across the provinces, across gender, across race. And the overseas population for us is a big issue. And Madam Chair, we have put in a revised proposed strategy, which is currently under consideration. And the CEO advised me to inform the meeting that it was submitted to the board and it's still being considered for final approval. So we await how best to make sure that we achieve transformation, enhance the skills and credibility in the sector. Because for us, being an assessor for the tourism grading center is a specific profession. It's a highly specialized profession, and the profession we believe needs to be enhanced and highlighted in the country. Because up until now, there's not even a whole recognized course that a recognized institution can go to and say, I'm going to be here to qualify as a tourism quality assessor. Especially if you consider the new tourism act that calls for quality assessment across the whole region. So in our strategy, we are putting a few recommendations. We have to make a few recommendations. But everybody has also gone behind them. I see a lot of people are taking down notes from the slide. I wanted to be scared, but I will wait the question time. For us, the single biggest thing to do going forward, and from the Grand Council, we need to make sure that we get establishment owners to grade their establishment by showing them how grading will actually benefit their business. Will result in them getting business growth, and making sure, therefore, that they stay in business, that we enhance skills in South Africa, we enhance the experience of our tourists in the country, etc., etc. At the same time, maintaining a very credible grading process. So those are key pillars for us to make sure that this country maintains this international competitiveness as a tourism destination. And the strategy we put forward covers the five key elements here, in terms of maintaining and enhancing a grading system that is voluntary. Making it mandatory has got all sorts of other challenges. List of which is, if you are going to legislate something, you better make sure you've got the capacity to enforce it. And we know the enforcement part of it is going to be really challenging in the current climate. The credibility and the skills of the assessors, as I've just mentioned, credibility of the grading process you follow and the grading criteria, absolutely you cannot compromise that at all, because what you do is dead in the water. Recognizing great performance through the Izella Awards, everybody wants to be recognized for the good job that they do, you know? So we need to make sure that as a tourism industry, we properly award them. And then, of course, enhancing and communicating the relevant structure of benefits so that people take rated. We want somebody to commit quality and just deliver quality as a matter of course, and service advantage as a matter of course. This is a strategy approval process that has followed Madam Chair, long process obviously started last year already. As I mentioned, we just presented to the board in August now. We are waiting for final response and consideration as advised by the CEO. And thereafter it will be presented to the NDC for further consideration. So that is where we are right now. We do have a partnership with TripAdvisor, which is a fantastic, we believe, way forward. When it comes to reviews, consumer reviews are very key. They're very key for any product, whether you're a destination or a product. And the, what they call it, the social revolution is here, whether we like it or not. You know, Facebook, everything. Whether we like it or not, we might just add our services or we get left behind. We're not going to be left behind. TripAdvisor for us is a strategic partner for SATs in particular, because firstly it is the largest consumer and traveler review platform in the world for tourism. And secondly, it has the largest listing of South African products compared to all the other review platforms. I know there's booking.com and you can go to Expedia, etc. But this one, because of the sales, it is currently the largest. And we maintain that if tomorrow Andrew's travel review platform suddenly overtakes TripAdvisor, we will then cease to work with them. So we're not really married to TripAdvisor. We are there simply because it represents the largest product in South Africa that are being viewed by millions of people around the world, and represents the largest review on South African products currently online. And here we get consumer insights. And that helps us by way of planning, etc. but sovereigns, but Qatar, but consumer cards. We are in a position to tell you what the Americans think of the hotel sector in the Northern Cape, for example. You know, are they lying, complaining, and what they're complaining about? Those are the type of things that are coming out of Supernatural. Because you can segment it, I mean, there are thousands of lies. I suppose this will be the topic of the next discussion, whether it's a different thing. But they can show you thousands of indicators of what people out there think about our same products that are listed on Supernatural. So for us, the technology information empowers our assessors. So when they next visit their service mode, it's not just walking around with a cue board, check, and walk out. You know, sit down with the customer, look at their supervisor reviews, and then engage with the customer. By customer, I mean their service mode. It's our customer doing customer. So they engage them with their service mode. They say, Mr. Customer, you know, in this area, people are complaining, like they are, you know, but they're not, they kind of don't like your vegetable sauce. You know, if you change the vegetable sauce, they will feel welcome. For example, I'm just making a very good example. So that the assessor becomes a go-to resource, and from an expertise field and the skills that they reflected. And the establishment then begins to recognize the benefits of being graded and associated with the graded council and the kind of assistance that they can get and the kind of advice they can get. We believe this will assist us in delivering on the brand promise. That is, South Africa has got to maintain its internationally competitive status, its definition of choice, because of our quality solutions that we offer. If you click on Supervisor, and I'm sure some of you need Supervisor, you can start with Taylor Supervisor. I've just done a screen grab of the Create Table Rail. You can search for Table Rail and Supervisor. Underneath the name, underneath the name of the hotel or B&B or South Catering or Caravan, there will be the stars. Those are our stars. This is our automated plugin, what we call API, with Supervisor. And let me say, we're first in the world to do this. You know, there's no other country in the world that has this kind of relationship with Supervisor. And it's a huge, we've already broken ground with this, and I'm sure the chairman will talk to you. He still is working us on the knuckles to say that we're not really shouting about this achievement loud enough. And I think when we start with the Barcelona benefits on Monday next week, we are now highly ready to really be talking about this. So those stars that you see there is a direct read of our database. So if you don't see the star there, that means that check is not graded. And then that's what we talk about, the quality star grading. And then on the right hand side, those circles, that is the consumer grading. This is what the consumer thinks about Cape Royale. Now, what the power of this information, Madam Chair, is it tells us what we have graded you as. So in this instance, 5 stars. But look what the customers are saying. You are 1 star. You are offering a 1 star to me. So Madam or Mr. Chai, let's sit down, let's talk. Where are the issues? What can we help you? Service, facilities, etc., etc. So that again enhances the relationship between ourselves and the establishment and offering them value. I'm putting up this slide also just to show you currently. On the X axis, across the page, you have Supervisor. This is a Supervisor score, 1 through 5. 5 being best and 1 being the worst there. And then on the Y axis, you have the tourism grading council star grading. And this slide tells you that just over 80% of the establishments that are graded receive a consumer rating of 4 or more. Now we all know that 3 is the average. If you say 1 to 5, 3 will be in the middle. But because we are about quality and standards and enhancing, we want to be made from 4. So these are 80-20 principles. And this already indicates to us that there is variance in grades, that graded establishments receive a higher rating and a higher consumer review than ungraded establishments. And as I said, for thousands of pages, various communications on how it is that people are viewing our product in South Africa. Madam Chair, we agreed with the industry to conduct a 3-year review of grading criteria. This is very important for us to make sure that we are never ever in a situation that we experienced back in 2010 where it's for the first time that South Africa reviews grading criteria, because who knows, with the first time they're releasing this, some other technology that comes out that enhances the tourism experience, and we need to make sure that we meet a consumer need appropriately. But this slide quickly gives you a quick snapshot of our previous one, which we conducted in 2013, indicating that we had more than 36% of the graded establishments responding to the survey and responding and participating in the survey. And for us, that's a very high percentage for any survey to conduct. And here we go out to say, please tell us what is it that you want changed in the criteria, because some people don't want to get credit because they're getting asked, many people want this and what that, and we don't agree, and it's fine if they don't agree. Can they just ask them to please participate? Next time we call for comments, then I just make sure they participate and give us those comments. It's every 3 years, last one was in 2018, the next one is actually just around the corner. So we will be ready next year to open the survey again. But please ask people to comment. If they are not happy with the way we ask them, this is the time, every 3 years, to make sure that we are all aligned with the industry and everybody is represented accordingly. We do work with the associations, as I mentioned, the regions and the tourism associations. We invite them to participate. And what we find, let me say that some people feel left out, not because of the Green Council, but maybe it's their association that let them down by way of making sure that their comments are us. So that if people, if the industry, everybody in South Africa says, no, we don't want Mexican television, we are happy with the old broad scene, then that's what the industry is saying, that's a bear for the destination. You know, so we don't want to say name your name, but what is that for this? You're talking about enhancing standards, enhancing our international competitiveness. And it comes from the industry. So the criteria as you see them now, it is not taking for an interesting, or the work committee sitting in a dark room thinking what is going to the industry. It comes from the industry and it's combined from the industry. From a performance issue perspective, I just took the liberty of giving you numbers from 2007. Made interesting because prior to my arrival, these numbers were not audited. From 2007 onwards, these are audited numbers. And I just wanted to highlight when we introduced the new special criteria, the experience and health, which was natural, which was expected because, as I mentioned, where previously it was given to become a five star, it was no longer legal to become one of star grading easily because the criteria is changed and it becomes different. The next work we experienced was last year, at the end of last year, basically March this year, where we are now feeling the first effect of the 3-year membership. As I said, we introduced 3-year membership because we think people will get graded. Don't come near the grading council if you're not committed to maintain the quality for at least 3 years. And that's what we're saying. And some people then, again, those who want to take advantage of the system get graded now and continue using our club without. So those are the people we believe we've gotten rid of. From here onwards, we think we can achieve a nice 7% growth going forward. In the event that our strategy that we have submitted gets approved, Madam Chair, we believe we can increase that growth dramatically to 25% and then 7%, 7%, 7%. But at this rate, until we get the final answer from the NDP and the funding required, we are working on a 7% increase here on it. And I've also included the stats, Madam Chair, at the end of the year, but even my endowment, I actually got the stats at the end of July. They're not in the pack. I got them yesterday. I do apologize. So they're on the board right now. At the end of July, the total graded establishment, we're sitting at 5,315. And it's divided in terms of those provinces. And, so you can see what the provinces that you are involved in. The Western Cape being the largest in terms of the number of graded establishments, sitting at 1,821. The next followed by Gauteng at 975. When you look at the rooms, a total of 107 rooms, 107,000 rooms, not 107,000. The largest is Gauteng followed by Western Cape, and similar to the. The Gauteng has a larger number of hotels, bigger establishments. And the Western Cape has a lot of establishments, but smaller ones. So that's why the number is bigger in Western Cape, but the rooms are lesser. That is on my side, at the end of my presentation, I will hand over to Chair for his comments.
Thank you.
So I think the question probably needs to address is why am I and others from the private sector involved in the Grand Council? Well, personally, it's very simple. I've been in the tourism industry for almost 20 years now. For me, over the last 5 or 6 years, it's become increasingly apparent that we as a country, in support of our overall vision to be a world-class tourism destination, we need to have a world-class, credible training system. As Jamie has outlined, I think we have that. We have benchmarked our grading criteria and we consider to be the benchmark being Great Britain or Scotland, whichever the entity was, I can't remember. And we've enhanced on that. Our relationship with TripAdvisor is a case in point. The grading council fits squarely into three key initiatives. One being the National Tourism Sector Strategy. Within that strategy there's a considered focus on quality of tourism growth. If you look at Tuscan Tourism's strategic objectives, quality and quality assurance again forms part of our performance strategy. And then more recently the implications of the new Tourism Act, where specifically calls for the expansion of quality of tourism products to extend beyond that purely of accommodation and establishment. And the NDT has formed a working committee which will work on and understand the implications of the new and implementation strategy of the new Tourism Act. And we as a Grand Council have to start making some key decisions as to how we decide and how we expand the services of the Grand Council into what parts of the tourism supply chain should we be focusing on next. Should we be focusing on restaurants? Should we be focusing on national pleasure interests? Should we be focusing on tour operators, etc.? So we've got to go through that process. So where are we now as a Grand Council? As Tim has outlined, we have a world-class grading system with excellent criteria. The last grading criteria review that we did was very well received by the industry at large. We've now expanded our grading classification to include game lodges. We just launched the new game lodge criteria, where there's a focus on quality accommodation establishments in game lodges, also the quality of the wildlife and conservation experience. It is a voluntary system which compels us as a grading council and an awards committee to continue to review our offerings and the value proposition. We have independent assessors, which there's some history to this because at the time when the grading council was formed and we wanted to implement an improved grading council offering and strategy, there was an affordability issue to whether the assets could be employed in, within the Grading Council. This decision was taken at that time to make independent assessments. We firmly believe that in time they should become employees of the Grading Council because we can then protect the quality of the assessors, we can train them properly, we can make them full-time employees, we can make them their dedicated focus, and we can talk the transformation of their assets that can be focused on. That's absolutely critically important. And in terms of our strategies that we have presented to the Board of SAT and ultimately to NDT, it does call for an employment of our assessors in a couple of years' time. We are experiencing, as Tembi outlined in the last 50 slides, a situation where we have a declining number of establishments. We've gone from 6,000 down to 5,500. The new strategy talks to addressing the decline in establishments. What is encouraging though is the last year is despite the fact that we had a small decline in establishments, we actually grew the number of rooms that were being graded. I think we grew them by 2,500 rooms, 202,000. The one question you might be asking yourself is, well, how many rooms are there in the country that should be graded? Prior to the 2010 World Cup, we didn't actually understand how big our industry was. And we didn't understand how many rooms we had. And the then minister at the time then commissioned a study to understand how many rooms in our industry prior to the start of the World Cup, because if you remember there was a lot of uncertainty as to whether we could actually host the World Cup because we didn't have enough room. And at that stage the exercise resulted in a quantification of rooms something in the region of 200,000 rooms. Now we think there's been a big wash of rooms post the World Cup due to the impact of the recession. A lot of establishments, particularly informal establishments, were established at open prices of the World Cup and then subsequently closed their offices because occupancy declined, demand declined, etc. So I personally think the universe of hotel rooms or rooms in our country at this point in time is somewhere around 170,000 to 180,000 marks. Somewhere about 60 to 70% of the market. Probably 60% of the market is created at this moment in time. So our challenge is to, as part of being a world-class destination and being a credible industry, to grow the number of graders establishments so that our businesses that travel from within, in terms of domestic tourists as well as international tourists, can rely on a credible quality tourism experience. The key issue for us going forward is to address what I fondly refer to as the law of diminishing returns. And that really is, quite simply, when people sign up to get graded, there's a lot of enhancements and value added to be delivered by the assessors in terms of helping these establishments become assessed and graded and improved on their delivery. But over time, they start to ask questions to why should I grade it? I can do it myself. And so you start to see some people pulling out. So we're very excited that in the next couple of weeks we're going to be launching our new basket of benefits, which is going to give some tangible reasons and benefits to establishment owners to actually grade it. So things like business advice, cheaper discounts, and being able to buy appliances and white goods and access to media services and advisory services will be a key benefit. But if there's one message that I'm sharing that I'd like to leave today, it's where the portfolio committee can support us, is one of the primary reasons as to why great establishment owners want to be graded, and one of the key benefits is to be able to take advantage of increased support by government travelers and people travelling on government business. It was in 2000, I don't know when the year was, 2002, where there was a very strong statement made in government that government departments and employees were only to support great establishments. Quite frankly, that hasn't actually materialized. There's still a lot of visitors and visits and conferences and individual travel happening at non-graded establishments. And if there's one message that I could need to do is to try and increase that level of support. I think the new National Procurement Framework could actually help to assist that, but this is the one thing that establishment owners are calling for. And then we can go back with and it can be demonstrated through greater support on the ground, then you will see a lot more establishments continuing to support the Tourism Grading Council and the efforts. That's about it, Madam Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think you tried to meet the time. One time you was on the podium. One of the members of our club came in and he has joined us in the committee. I'm sure you haven't met and there was one of the members and you participated. One of the members, the body of your court, come up with point of clarity and questions and whatever you want to say. Hey, thank you.
You are celebrating excellence and all what has been achieved with excellence. But there have been some criticism on these awards and of the criteria and not the inclusion of or the criteria not looking at geographic disadvantage, community for establishment and just taking everybody and people that you want. Can you just give us an indication on exactly the criteria that you use on celebration of his excellence? And then the next one is around the fees that you charge for the invoice that you give out. Can you just give us some information, more information on the amount in terms of the criteria in terms of, I would assume your first grade establishment or invoice is the size of establishment, let's say you look at the type of establishment and the sizes and then give them the invoice accordingly. Just because a glimpse of what the picture looks like in terms of the and then also, I want to find out what if there is a tourism levy that is charged by establishment or everyone that uses an establishment to go to a hotel, you pay this amount which will go to the tourism, which goes to the tourism levy and so on. I just want to know what is the creativity that can be used for such, so that you cater such amount or cater for the grading per se, so that it becomes a process where all establishments are graded. We do not just leave it to a voluntary basis. So that those others really would not want to be graded because it's not, I don't want to say it's too expensive, but they do not see the value of it based on sometimes just having to change. But at the end of the day, each and every person that uses their establishment, they are charged a tourism level, which goes to what's the tourism, they just give us a check around it and see how then such that the levy actually include issue of grading.
Thank you, Chair. Let me just take an opportunity to say thank you to everybody for the presentation that you have given to us. It sounds very good and it shows the experience that is what is important. But I've got some two questions for you. The first one is, how are the grading assessors appointed? And the second one is that, what is the funding structure of the grading council? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Captain. And welcome to the report and the presentation that you have received. Some critical things are to be made. If we have to have this over in the world, we have to also classify this economy and differences. Classify them differences so that we don't find other things which are funded by these 51 classes, but anyway, we'll explain how it is done. I've also realized that in some provinces, there are no assessors at all, or in some cases, it's only one. How do you make sure that the establishment in all those provinces are also being catered to?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I had a lot of questions before coming here about that presenter. He not only read what was on the presentation, they also gave an explanation. So I've got a few now. My question was around, though BAM has been already asked by the previous speaker, I have one that still remaining chair, that the presentation is silent about their financial data. I think as a public entity, they are supposed to disclose that information. The other one was around, I had an insight around their recruitment policy on the secondaire, more especially on the service provider. How are they recruited? That there is a benefit. The other presenter mentioned that they had a way of trying to meet them, they are full-time employees. They train them so that they can have a test program when they employ their staff. What methods do they use to recruit that personnel? The other concern is just a comment share. The presenter talked of a bucket when the prophet started, you didn't find it. Now that they are mentioning only two benefits for grading establishment. The one that you get more visitors, the one that you get consumer confidence. What else can encourage other establishments to be taken? I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. I feel sorry for the members opposite those around the gauntlet. Everybody seems to have questions. The presentation was extremely comprehensive and it answered a lot of the questions that I had that were obvious questions to me. But I do have two outstanding issues I'd like to clarify. And you may have covered in your presentation, but it was quite a lengthy and in-depth presentation, so please forgive me if I do repeat myself. The first thing I wanted to say was with respect to government business going to great establishments, I think this committee needs to do some serious introspection and make sure that we support the Grading Council on that. In fact, at our first meeting, the Minister confessed that he went to the Kirkwood Hospice and was booked into accommodation that wasn't great. So there are cracks in the system that need to be closed, and I think the committee will work hard together to make sure that happens, and I hope that that's the case. I wanted to know, in respect of the various products that are now potentially going to be added to your grading list, if the department or the grading council have considered heritage plus specifically, September happens to be tourism month and heritage month at the same time. Heritage tourism is a massive opportunity for South Africa, but the condition of our heritage sites from Robben Island all the way to the latest Mandela Memorial at Howick, the condition of those heritage sites is not at an internationally acceptable standard. I'm from Port Elizabeth, and there are numerous heritage sites. I'm just interested to know if that is under review. And then obviously how, if your strategic plan has gone through the phases that is now under review to the National Department, what are the plans to bring any of those new products online within the strategy, and how is that going to change your grading process, that particular diagram that you have on the screen? The other question was related to the three-year membership. Is it an upfront payment for 3 years? If it's an upfront payment for 3 years, how do you assure quality over the 3 years? Because I assume that if it's a one-year membership, that the people would have to reapply, and there would be an opportunity for the assistant to go and review that particular establishment and come back to Grading Council. So over those 3 years, with the shortage of assessors, which is obviously a critical problem, how do you close that gap? Has the Grading Council considered, much like individual citizens who rate themselves, I can't feel the phrase now, but if you, other than TripAdvisor, as a consumer-based system where you could have people who were validated by the Grading Council to make sure that there aren't outstanding establishments who are pretending to be graded when they are in fact not. There was one other question related to TripAdvisor. Are all of your graded establishments graded directly to TripAdvisor? And if that is the case, what percentage of those are a question that's just slipped out of my mind? So just stick to the first part of the question. And then with regards to the grading, where you had a graph with TripAdvisor and the Grading Council and the evaluation of 80% of graded establishments receiving a high rating, can we get that breakdown by province? Because I think it would be interesting to find out where the poor performing provinces are, address those possibly at a provincial level, and that's where we could also be of assistance in our constituencies doing oversight and making sure that when we go into our particular provinces that we ask the tough questions to last people. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I apologize again for being late. As you know, I'm a post-terminal team. This is a very difficult one. I had a committee meeting on a Friday. I'm throwing grain and rice at each other. I forgot the different side. So if I do ask something which you guys have covered, I'll just hold it up. But I have two main questions. The first one would be the issue of once you've awarded a grading, to what extent do you have the capacity to make sure that grading is actually maintained? So I'm listening very carefully to the inspectors who jump into the shower from the podcasting and everything else, I watch that, which presumably that's pretty crazy and they do that, but you know, they test the whole thing on coffee. But then what incentive does the organization have that they grade to carry on with a nice standard? I mean, if things start to go wrong, if the company starts to lose money or the non-profit, you know, B&B starts to lose money, they can't afford the maintenance and the IT. How long is this before this isn't grading up on the other business? So there's a question mark in my mind as to not that to the initial award, but whether that standard is maintained. I'm not convinced that is important for a one-star establishment to become a five-star establishment or to rise up the stars, because in fact, you get what you pay for. And five-star, four-star, three-star establishment is always going to be a lot more than a one-star establishment. Sometimes, this is a skewed nature of our country and the United States, all know what happens. It is actually needed. And many people can't afford the price tag that comes with a higher rating. In my own life, I sat in jail for that about 10 years ago, and I sat in a place which was probably no bigger than an average size bathroom. And all it had was a very uncomfortable bed. The bed could only be laid one way because the room wasn't wide enough, but it was literally a little rectangle, and also the side was a very basic bathroom. But that was one stop. But it cost 90 rand for nothing. I mean, I know there's a lot of people who are trying to find economic level that need a one-star rating. So for me, it's not the fact that you need a rating to increase the rating, it's the fact that you're telling the consumer what they can expect for their money. So that's important. And then I come to the broader point that you made about how do we actually incentivize people to grow. Because we all agree that we don't want international tourism to be local. So that a bad experience by thinking of getting a and in fact expectations are less than they be. And that's what happens with ungrowing tourism. So if I was the session, I'm actually from Maui.
Yeah.
And we have a monitor at the bottom of our house pool, so it's reduces. And the only other place in the world we can compete with us is Los Angeles. And we also have the biggest cat keeper in the country, and we have the Nelson Mandela capital amongst other things. So there's a lot going for us. So right now the Harvey tourism industry is suffering because ACWA, which is the organization that represents them, there are far too many levies that have to be paid. And the council can't give them enough support. So many of our attractions, including the attractions around the falls, because there's a gorge wall in the bushcraft as well, are trying to sell. And hence our question is, there are so many of these extra add-on costs that your small, struggling, entrepreneurial tourism industry has to try and absorb. Is there really an argument to make to pay for the grading? Because at the end of the day, I think the big picture is that we want tourists coming to the country to get what they expect, and they need to be able to rely on the grading that they see on the website of a particular establishment or whatever other means they use to establish what they think they're going to get. And isn't it better, particularly in the light of your comments that you have this sort of law diminishing the price, the bonus is done. And you identify that it's a problem that quite a lot of people don't say, why do I need this? And then that's a very good point. Why do people need it? It's actually the country that needs it more than individual offers. And therefore, isn't an argument to be made that you shouldn't charge a grading fee at all, and in fact that cost should be up to the tourism or the park and tourism inflation. So we absorb that cost at a national level, we don't actually use it pay thing, and we make it a far bigger incentive because there's no cost involved when you're competing against all these other levies that are added on, as I've explained in the host discussion. And then surely the numbers should go up in terms of people wanting to grade. And that achieves overall national objective, which is to get something more than the 60% of the establishments that talk about grade and hitting maybe to 85 or 90. So I know that's a little bit of a philosophical question, and probably it's a little bit outside the mandate. So I'd like to comment as a grading council, as what do you think it would help? Because that was the cost that was absorbed by the department of budget. Obviously your cooperation would carry on before, but instead of being funded by the user, or the product would be funded through the national budget. So I'd like to have your comment.
Would like to be discussed in the mandate of the grading council. But I'm here and wondering, how do we assist those establishments that is not in the orbit of the grieving system. That is new entrepreneurs that is active, living in the township, operating. And if you are graded, you are, I'd like to believe, the step advisor or to assist the old establishment to flourish. But how do we assist the new entrants into the market in relation to grazing? Because I'd like to tell them the majority of the people in the townships are not graded establishments.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor. I hope to many those questions and you are about the fact you meet even the philosophical ones because it was written that we come with our various ideas and philosophy and the position of that to many. But to ask many questions because most of them have been asked. There are some establishments through the Gold Lodge Formula One, do you create them as well? Because most people who particularly domestic tourists prefer to use those places as they can afford them. Oh, and also, is it possible to address the issue of the associations to try and address it and mean them so that the associations integrate and for all the problems as the message it does so that the work is made easy. It's made easy, but I won't say simpler, but it's made easy and everybody can talk in one. Thank you. Thank you.
thank you, Madam Chair. There is a number of questions. I will do an actual operation once and where I need to proceed and take down the phone to my chair and give him an opportunity to comment on all the answers that I'm giving. Member Kubelima Chair, in terms of the question, there is an assertion about your observations and criticism that has been raised has been brought to our attention. There was, the first one was, is that an open, central policy, an open competition, there's no equity. And we think what happened in the first year of the launch, which was last year, perhaps not too many people were aware of it and therefore did not enter. But there's no fee attached, but the establishment must enter. No one else can enter for them on their behalf. And with the limited budget that we have, we really went all the way up. With a limited amount we spend on radio, we did social media, SMSs. We tried to spread the word as much as possible about here's an award program, please enter. We go on to www.ladies.co.za and if you can't, if you don't have access to that, call this number, we'll give you a physical form, etc. So I think it's because it's a new program, we have more entries this year, and unfortunately I've got instructions via my CEO office not to put out flag on the event. I actually did have, and I think you also show the different entries for province in the category. But we sit here where we can see the number going up annually. This is the second year of the award. And certainly this forum with us, just like yesterday when I talked to the association, I know the word about the tourism awards is spreading slowly by slowly. And I think by every year four, we will have so many entries in this forum. I think it's just that it doesn't say this, but it is free and people must just enter. And anyone is welcome to enter. So it's not that anyone was excluded. And the fact that the winners on the first, during the first event, which was last year, yes, the perception and indeed a lot of the majority of the people that went on stage to get that award were the privilege advantage or privilege of what people were saying. In fact, there was a cruel joke, I think, basically saying you better is really white, you know. And so that's the case, they respect on the innocent, you know. Their world program can only hold up a mirror to what country is in the innocent. But for as long as the industry is not transformed, I think that's exactly what's going to happen. So, and we can't say suddenly because there's a lot of black operators that don't exist, then we talk to the credibility of their work. So I think it's a fine balance, but unfortunately it is just a mirror of what's happening in the industry. And this is where the work needs to be done, and not necessarily on their work. And I think that all we can do is really spread the word, saying, people are proud of the service offering and want to be acknowledged and have a program and compete against other prayer. And then you'll be awarded and recognized appropriately. We can just ask your committee to help us spread the word. Grading fees and how we invoice. Grading fees and how we invoice. We used to, in the past, just have a grading fee associated with the number of rooms. So how many rooms do you have? That's the fee. So whether you are 1 star or a 5 star, operating in 7 boards and charging 5,000 rand a room, or operating in Soweto charging, you know, 500 rand a room, same fee, depending on the number of rooms. We change the formula, Madam Chair, to say, what is your, what number of rooms, what is the star grading you are operating or applying for, and also the last formula is, what is your average rate that you charge per night. So it is now a formula. And the fees are published on our website. If you go on our website to click on grading fees, you will see the lower fee currently charged is around 1,200, all the way to thousands of rand, depending on the size, the level of fare. So we believe that that formula then makes the grading fee an equitable fee to charge across. So it's not just the number of rooms, because as I mentioned, that was what created the challenges before.
The question surrounding the relationship between the chosen lady and the baby council. Apparently there is no relationship because the chosen lady, the 1% chosen lady, is also a voluntary lady. Lady to customers. Customers or guests can decide not to pay the 1%. But that was part of the initiative between the private sector through the chosen business council and in support of FA Tourism to further the international marketing efforts of FA Tourism. So that levy is collected by the private sector on behalf of FA Tourism and paid over to FA Tourism to further the international marketing efforts. Currently about 100 to 120 million rand per year. The bigger question around, which I think is what you were referring to, is to whether you couldn't make the grading of establishments mandatory and link to the service, the chosen levy. We've debated this too, and the problem with the mandatory scenario of all establishments being obliged to be graded, it links to all questions surrounding whether grading shouldn't be a free system, and I'll address that later, because it's a very good philosophical question that I'd like to respond to. The problem about making grading mandatory is that it then has to be regulated and policed. And we are an industry that prides itself on less regulation and not being unregulated, and we would love that to continue, as advised by the government themselves. So I don't think the mandatory system of grading would actually work, because I don't think it would be able to be successfully policed.
I'm going to address your related question together with yours, how do we appoint grading assessors, and what methods we use to recruit the personnel in terms of assessors and the strategy going forward? Currently, the last intake of assessors was a year ago. We put out an address. We follow a number of personnel recruitment processes as we would put out employees. Address in the paper and in all the social spaces, in the main papers, and then we circulate to all the provinces to say please get here as widely as possible. We then get CV. We go to the CV. The requirement is we do have somebody to have at least a tertiary education, a 3-year tertiary
present self-hospitality related qualification and minimum 3 years of experience. Why? Because you want somebody who's confident enough to go to an MD of city or the town and say, sorry, this is not correct. This is not the way it's going to be done. So you need somebody with that level of understanding of the industry and the players, and at least some, we do test the quality. We put them through a test in a room and on the computer for them to test whether can they tell you this is a 4-star hotel. We put a lot of speakers in the test, which is part of the control. And then we then let them respond to the property around the country. The challenge at the moment is, of course, the self-employed. So they get accredited, not appointed, but accredited as a grading council assessor, and then they have to go out there and do the sales recently. And then it depends, you may be a very good salesperson and convince everybody to get graded, and you may back up to close the deal. Now, so some people start like the loss from last year. There are those who are just quite okay, and they are getting more and more clients every day, and there are those who are basically more successful. And that's why our bundle of benefits is going to assist in the closing the deal. They can't get graded until your invoice, because here's working for you. Pretty much tangible bundle of benefits. That's the current scenario. The future scenario that you mentioned, Ruth mentioned, going forward, we put a proposal to say, we see you as a full-time employee so that we can begin to train them and be in control, etc., etc. That would be following normal employment processes, but again, it would be similar to now where we want somebody with at least a certain qualification in tourism hospitality, short hospitality, and some work experience, because we need the same skill. But then becoming full-time employees again is going to be dependent on the kind of approval that you have and whether you get the funds. And it's also address, for example, in Scotland, they spend every year, 3 weeks, classroom, task, refresher training, mentor, where they talk about the current trends, in their course, training things, the latest fabrics, the latest materials, etc., etc. Everybody, for 3 weeks, they sit and they just go through this once a year. See, now, right now, all you do is, you can only afford 3 days of, we have the annual assessor conference. Actually, I paused at this point, Madam Christine, but I promise to attend our next conference, which is going to be in June, I think in June next year. We'll just confirm the date through the office, we'll send the invitation. I think it would be fantastic to have your presence, so you can see on all the assessors and begin to operate in the various provinces. So, and again, it's 3 days because of the cost from our side, and also because they're independent people, we really can't they can't afford to be sitting in one room for a week when they have to go out there in India. You know, so those are some of the challenges. But the recruitment process remains the same. The issue of the funding structure of the grading council, which also you, both of you mentioned. I don't know if I want to cover this, but the grading council is a very small business unit of tourism. Our total budget is 40 million rand. And from the assessor fee, we only receive about 12 million rand from assessor fee. It's really, really small. It's in the greater scheme of things. And the rest of the overheads are covered by the department. And the overheads are like our salaries and, for example, now the Bachelor of Justice and all the marketing and all the things that we have to do to try and encourage people to get graded. But the 40 million is back in total.
So let me talk to the philosophical question, because I mean, probably the right answer to talk about. We've had this today. I think ultimately down the line, I think it's going to move in that direction. I think we would move to a situation where grading is a service provided by FA Tourism that will be funded by FAT, IE, NET, and government. I think that's where it's going to get to. Which we started in the part of our strategy now is to encourage those emerging entrepreneurs. I think Honourable Member, you mentioned the township tourism and those products. So part of our strategy is for us to implement a subsidized grading fee system to emerging enterprise that will fall within the definition of an emerging or a small medium micro enterprise still be easy. That'll be the first step in the process. So that we can encourage the emerging in Scotland to be funded and supported by the Grand Council to the BC. Because if you look at the breakdown of our establishments, 60% of our establishments, maybe even more, are actually small establishment owners. So the majority of the rooms are made up by the bigger establishments. So you have an inverse relationship between the number of establishments and rooms. It's just the nature of our industry. So I would, and I know Kim is of the view that down the line we would support a grading system or a grading council supporting a system that is offered by government as part of the incentive to be a chosen product in this country. Because I think it will lead to greater credibility and it will support those number of entrepreneurs and people trying to make a living in this industry. And it is true, while there are not too many levied on establishment owners by tourism itself, it's all the other add-on levies and costs of doing business, whether it be municipal levies, whether it be other regulations that exist in other industries or other departments that are impacting on small tourism enterprise. And your case in point about how I can understand it, and so it has so much potential. And in the context of 11 million, it's a small price to pay for the Grammy Company. But it's not 11 million, because it's a lot more in the sense that those are the fees that we're recovering from the existing establishment. So if we open it up, it will create additional cost pressures on the Grading Council and there will be more and more assessors if it's to cover a wide span of the tourism flock. But it's not going to be 110 million. You know, if it's 50 million in terms of additional costs, I think it's additional more plus to play for where we'd like the Grading Council to be and to be able to support a credible tourism industry. Because I think that is what we're at the end trying to achieve. So we know the opposition to the principle being raised. The other point I wanted to raise, and I'm jumping around a bit, so excuse me, is the concept of how do we expand our tourism, the ambit of the Trading Council, question raised surrounding places of interest and heritage. I completely agree with you. We had some debate with the Deputy Minister as to whether we should be focusing on restaurants next. Quite frankly, focus on restaurants is an insurmountable task right now because there are so many different type of restaurants out there. There's thousands of restaurants, hundreds of thousands of restaurants around the country. And quite frankly, the customer polices their experience because people will vote for their fees. They will just not return and their restaurant gets flushed out. However, places of interest is a very different special effect because these are places of interest that we as a country have gladly to say, come visit our places of interest. These are what we advertise, these are our pride and our heritage. But as being referred to and being widely advertised, we're clearly not doing a really good enough job in management. We would support that as our next port of call. Because they're easier to get into in terms of management, of creating and attending. And in terms of how we would do that, we would follow exactly the same process that we've outlined with accommodation establishments. We would go and get the support of subject matter experts in that industry and those particular industries and then divide the criteria. And a lot of these criteria and grant standards exist, it's just a question of making sure they're assessed and remain assessed from the end of that. So that would be our recommendation that our first port of call would be, or next step would be to go to collective heritage or national interest around the country, because those are often, as I said, that's what we advertise to the wider world, and that's why international guests people are coming to see. So that's easy enough for us to do.
Honourable Minister, your question regarding assessors in some provinces, and I'll just put up the slide again back on the board. Yes, we are aware, for example, in the Northern Cape, the Free Trade, it's just the nature of things. I mean, if we advertise nationally, people are looking for assessors, and people from there don't respond. Even when we send the address to the provincial authority and the RCO, they hear an address, there's an opening, and people don't. There is, again, nothing, we can't force people to apply if they're not interested. However, how we cover those provinces is by ensuring that none of the assessors are restricted
This is where they are based. But you can choose, and I think that those people to say, because we have a little TV on who they are, and they are based on our website. So you can then choose not to come and grade me, because I like your experience, I like your face, come and grade me, and I'm sitting in Cape Town. It is up to the, again, if the exercise is able to them in trouble. So they're not restricted to property. So we cover and grade across all properties, as you saw in the text, there's properties everywhere. But it's just that in the particular province, for some reason, I don't know why it's such an interesting state. And then the noise case, the reason why we only have one assessor, the challenge there may take the distances to cover. You know, but we do have assessors that go in, and that's why working with the RCO is so important, because we can organize for them to just make sure that in this one area, everybody gets graded at the same time. So that the assessor is one trip, travels 500 kilometers, and spends the next week grading that area, and then move out. Because right now there's no assessor that's going to go for 1,000 for this 1,200 rand goal. Because it's a lot of money spent in the petrol country. And that's the strategy we put together to say we need full-time assessors. Because full-time assessors, everybody's allocated the funds, everybody's allocated a number of properties, and it's all eco-communicated. But how we cover provinces is we are not restrictive. Honourable your question on the basket of benefits and what is it and how do you encourage a person to get graded? There's three areas going like in the basket of benefits that we are launching. And actually, please log on when we're going to send information to Tessa and she'll distribute to you guys and we'd love your feedback. But it's on three areas. The first one is we go to generating leads in terms of people to come and book at your establishment. So give you access to customers. Secondly, we're going to give you access to a number of discounts across all the things that you need to run your establishment. For example, where do you buy this and how much do you buy for certain papers, sugar, cutter, receipts, the things that you every month and every day you incur expenses for. And just can't organize discounts for the toll roads or whatever. So or Eskom or Telcom or help you with the zoning, which is all the questions sometimes we get. But yeah, we're talking about helping you save money and also to help you from a business growth perspective. So what you're saying is that there's going to be a team of business advisors that help you if you need tax advisors, if you need access to legal advisors, if you need access to financial advisors, etc., etc. Including and access to a pool of pre-qualified potential employees in the various areas, whether you need a receptionist, you need somebody in housekeeping, in the area that you require in the business. So actually, there's a slide on the they just show, and there's a whole list. But we're going to have on Monday, we're going to send you the link. Please log on and give us your feedback. That would be very appreciated. So they said that we missed something, or we suggest we add something else, we really work on it. But this work that is almost 3 years in the making. And we did conduct research to find out what is it that people are looking for. And this, these are the areas where we came about. Okay. Mr. Whitfield, two questions have been answered. But the one on, Teddy, I would like to thank you for the commitment in terms of the, it was traditionally a cabinet decision taken in 2002. It wasn't just a discussion, it's a cabinet decision, there is a cabinet memo out, but for some reason the cabinet decision was never implemented. The cabinet decision was 2002, and we did, at the last meeting, asked for a copy, we did forward it to the department, and I'm sure you got it. So it's a slightly smaller than just a discussion, it is an inspection of cabinet, but as I said, none of the job departments are really implementing it. After agreement for 3 years, no, you pay as you expire, you can pay for 3 years if you want, you can accommodate the system. But what's important to note is that grading is a top-mark data behavior. Because a lot can happen to the carpet in a few years' time. So the assessor has to come every year to visit you. So don't visit unilaterally. You sign up for 3 years, and you get 3 visits every 12 months. In between, what happens is, the best setting to tell us, the missed 2 visits, is the normal visitor.
And that is why our link to the supervisor, because it's a still biggest form, consolidated scope of reading that we get. So the Green Council used to have a meet guest program where people were appointed and paid to go and visit on it, but it was a few individuals and it cost a lot of money. I don't believe what the kind of value we are getting as we're getting from supervisor. So from supervisor, that's in the last year alone, we have over 25,000 comments and reviews, people who are telling you what to present their experience. At the same time, if you appoint 10 people to visit, even on a full-time basis, now that's a lot of money that the Green Council could not afford. So the visitor annual by the assessor, they check everything, and it does not mean you are going to be definitely first out. It depends on when the assessor gets there, the carpets are worn, the seats are not checked, whatever it is, you can get an upgrade downgrade. Or alternatively an upgrade. It depends. So the visitor assessor is a very important part of the credibility of the system for us. And just mentioned, the currently we don't have a social assessor. We have two assessors, and they are not all equally busy. And that is why, as Mr. Wood mentioned there, if we are currently having 60% of the rooms are up to the graded, the next 40% of the rooms would be covered by, if all assessors were busy properly throughout the year, each having 240 establishments each, you're talking of 10,000 odd establishments. So I think for the next year or two we could, until we get a dramatic increase in the number of establishments in South Africa. I don't think we have a shortage of assessors. No, not all assessments are automatically registered with supervisor. It is, there's a registration and there's a listing with supervisor. Whether you are a supervisor or not, as an establishment, someone is commenting on you, and your name we can pick it up from supervisor. Because if you had a bad experience, it doesn't matter whether you as an establishment are registered and listed on supervisor. There's somebody who's commenting on you, and that is the feedback that we get. And that is the feedback that is listed on there. Because we're not really pushing that people must go to supervisor. We don't choose whichever review site, but at the moment, we're working with supervisors because the majority of the establishments are here. And also Expedia, we learn, uses the supervisor platform. So, and that's the next popular review site in South Africa. Great number of problems, certainly we'll forward information to Peter and she can forward to you. Great number of problems of the supervisor test. Philosophical questions, Honourable Kuba, have been answered. Thank you. In terms of new establishments, you're saying supervisor, for example, only helps new establishments, older establishments to flourish. Not necessarily new. No, I'm not sure if I agree with that because, as I said, even if they're not registered supervisor and somebody goes and visits, somebody will say something about their own supervisor, good or bad. Good or bad. And then all those millions of people will see and hear about any DND. You know, so it helps if they are registered and they can manage, because when you register on supervisor as an establishment, at least you have the right to respond to the comment, then the guests can make their own decision. But if you distance yourself from supervisor, then people write whatever they want and you don't have the right of reply. And that is the only thing with all the review sites. Yeah, so we do encourage, as I mentioned earlier, the social media revolution is here. You can use your advantage on Twitter or it's all here. We need to just assist the establishment and empower them to be able to engage on those platforms. And that's the role of the regional organization, regional tourism organization. Madam Chair, road laws, the Formula One, yes, of course they're doing it. And Formula One is now, Sun One, it's now called Sun One, because it was brought over by the Sun Sun. One of the things I always say in public platforms is that as a one-star or a two-star, because for some reason people think a one-star or two-star, I know, I don't want to get credit because you're going to make me a two-star. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There is a particular market. There's a reason why Sun Sun bought Formula One, because it's a special market. And it'd rather be a one star because your overheads are low, etc., etc. There's not many requirements. And that is part of the messaging that our marketing manager here will always deliver this message. He says, don't come in and think, you know, you want to be a four star. Or it's too much overhead, it's too expensive. Keep it at the level, and it's the target market that you want to target and excel in the market. Rather, instead of trying to be a two or three star, stay two star and then offer a wonderful service and become the best two star in your area. So that is the message that we always give to people, and we would like the honorable member to help us with that message. So the creator is not about being five star. It's about making sure that the person that books in a service knows know that I'm going to get the basics, it's going to be clean, it's going to be safe, etc., etc. And that's what creating is going to ask. And then the model with the association pay the Western case, I will take the matter to the department to New Mexico, but we will also use the existing structure to make the Western case. But your assistance, of course, and that little love letter from you to them is not also not going to hurt. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. If you want us to ask to attend your workshop, you write a letter. Depending on the parliament's
program.
Anything else that you'd like to know about, that you'd like to question?
Honorable, we still have a little bit of a
So thank you, Chairman. It really is important. I just wanted to follow up on that senior membership. If you could just clarify what it is, if every day on renewal, so it's a 3-year commitment, what are the implications of that commitment? I'm just missing something. It might be a very obvious question. And then just a comment that South African tourism focuses on domestic tourism necessitates increased capacity, in my mind, for the tourism agency. So I think that this committee just needs to be aware of the synergy between what South African tourism strategy is in terms of domestic tourism and making sure that as a committee we do everything possible to make sure that the tourism grading council is capacitated. There has to be alignment between those two, and we need to look really carefully at how that money is being allocated and how it's being spent and where we can help the tourism grading council to work for the domestic tourism strategy.
Thank you, Honourable Secretary. I appreciate the manner in which the President has responded to our question. But the one concern that I had, the one that I proposed to ask before, is it their structural arrangement that they are calling? They are the person who is in charge of award. They share the awards that we will have care when they are used. Is it that it happened to be a man or is there structural so that when it's me, I'll call the chair person or a chair woman.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to make a follow-up on that issue of the Minivella Award. I think maybe the question before was just whether you put all of them in one person or you are able to categorize them. Because I think if we don't categorize them, that is where we are going to have the issue of getting only those in as the project to be on the number one or those who are winning all the time. But maybe if we can have a certain category, maybe say 1 and 2 start groups together, 1 star group together, 2 together, something like that, so that we give a sense to everybody. But what it is, everyone interested. Some of you feel that it's just a waste of time to get into this, because I will never win. Can you appreciate on that one?
Let me deal with the question of the chairman versus chairman versus chairman. There is no gender-specific requirements for the person to be generous. In fact, there are more women on that awards committee that actually tell me what to do. The question surrounding the senior membership, let's take a step back. What happened was we had an annual application process, and it was very cumbersome, and they became very administratively intense. So what would happen is that people would register to renew their membership, but it would take us months to process the application. So we decided to go to the senior membership program to alleviate administration. So you sign up for the senior membership program, you pay your fees on an annual basis. It's almost like akin to taking a cell phone contract out. The only difference, of course, is when you, as Cindy said earlier, if you default on your membership payment, you don't give timely notification to terminate your exit out of the membership system, that's when the legal ramifications start to kick in. And getting back to that point, that philosophical point on what grading should be, most of these are the small entrepreneurs who are then registering, and therefore file of the membership system, then we start having issues with regard to trying to recover debt. And it becomes really an unnecessary process. So it does all point towards, hence the subsidy scheme that we've been referring to earlier, and all points to what long-term solution we think will be. On the link between Grading Council and domestic tourism strategy, you're absolutely right. One of the key challenges for the domestic tourism strategy is the growth of supply of tourism products, particularly in the rural areas and off the beaten track areas. Joburg, Durban, Cape Town, from a tourism plant point of view, is fine. Those establishments in those areas tend to perform relatively well, but it's the tourism industry that is in the smaller towns and in the rural areas that really, really needs support and development. In fact, this morning I was reviewing the domestic tourism strategy that Steve presented to NDT, and it was one of my exact comments was that we need to stimulate the growth of tourism establishments in the rural areas. One thing being able to market a domestic tourism strategy, but the other is going to create this culture of tourism awareness travel. You need to create additional products in the upper areas. I think right now, in terms of our resource capability, we're fine to support that domestic tourism strategy, but as the culture of tourism starts to take shape and more people travel and more products get brought in, we're going to have to relook at our resource issues. So one thing we didn't mention in our resourcing is with the implications of the Tourism Act that we would need to start resourcing the Grading Council to take on additional facilities, and we have to change our strategy as well.
That's one additional comment I can make on the capacity issue is the fact that in our new strategy, what the kind of capacity or assistance we are asking for and we're finding the decisions to make is to assist us to make sure that the assessments are full time, because that should definitely be a cost and if you can see it strong, because it's got a lot of advantages. So that is where the synergy comes in. So we need to make our centers are full time, we're sufficiently capacitated, skilled and trained to make sure that we protect our brand and tourism destination. Honorable Marcela, the question you're asking, I've just got the graph here which you don't have there. Actually, the Venezuela entries are in the, when it comes to accommodation, let me talk about accommodation, Grading Council. We've got 9-10 different categories. B&B, Game Lodge, Caravan Park, etc. You enter in the category in which you are graded. So it's uniquely, I'm a hotel, I'm a one-star. So that's the category you're entering. I'm a B&B, I'm a four-star. You enter the category. So all the hotels that are one-star competing together, all the B&Bs that are four-star are competing together, etc. So it is the largest sector and the largest number of awards come out, about 45 awards in total, if you look at the number of awards in the grant sector. So they're coming out of the accommodation sector. And as a percentage of doing these are the entries across each province for accommodation. There is 84 in the Eastern Cape, the lowest one being the Northern Cape with only 13 entries, Western Cape being the highest with 132 entries in the accommodation sector. Tourist guides, we had 25 entries,
but the NDC was coordinating with them. They didn't put it according to province. But in total, we have 205 entries. Visit criteria. These are people from restaurants to any other visitor student that they want to. 198. In Bello, which is accessibility, again, so we don't have it by province, but it's 254 entries there. Novella accessibility, which is obviously a disappointment, only 7 properties in the Eastern Cape felt confident enough to enter themselves for an award. And some of the provinces just think they don't have anything. I mean, there's nobody in the Limpopo, Mpumalanga, etc., etc. That feels I'm a product and I want to be acknowledged because I welcome and facilitate people living with, which is something that I'm concerned about. There's a lot of awareness and development that needs to happen in this area. Similarly with DE, only 30 entries across the country. And this is to be awarded for a DE, and this is the number. So these two areas for us as a department also lots of concern, and these are areas we need to make sure that. And here, these are people who say, I've done well, she's recognizing. Remember, it's not about how well we are developing them. This is about recognition. Remember what I said earlier. Development is awareness and creating aspect. And then there's a recognition of it. So obviously it's concerning when nobody in the Northern Cape, for example, thinks I'm as a BE, you know, can I be recognized for the work that I do? Would it just talk to the rest of the provinces in the communication and education and knowledge to make it fast?
On that note, I'd like to thank you very much for the input that you brought to us. Some of us are brand new in this tourism cycle, and we are learning a lot. Thank you very much. We invite you, because some of the members are not here, but they need quite a lot, but I'm sure we'll share with them so that they actually get up on your eyes. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Lene, and the people coming to your team. Thank you. Now we're back on committee business. And so in the documentation that you see, there was a report on the Senate 100. This document. And maybe why I wanted one to it. This is because we had some people representing us. We had Honorable Paul, we had the Secretary, Thierry Fortuna, we had the Cushion Advisor, Dr. Moore Kudrayo, who participated. Mr. Paul, Honorable Paul was not here, but he concurred with everything that is in the report. Maybe Content Advisor, if you can just summarize for us in about 5 minutes, we would appreciate it.
Thank you, Chair. The conference that we attended in the Chair and State was the annual conference for SASTA, and they extended the invitation to the Chair team and ended up accompanying the court because other members were engaged in their constituencies. It was a 3-day conference. The first day, was just the first day. The main activities took place on Friday and Saturday. The minister delivered a keynote address where he was outlining the state of the industry and to where we are currently. But on page 2, maybe just to illustrate some of the challenges that we see today, the minister alluded to them 2.1.6, where he acknowledged that we still have backlog in road infrastructure, the LDH strategy and the whole issue of pricing, the visa regulations and the trade, which are the issues that I think the committee has also been raising in your discussions with the department. But then the private sector also interacted with the minister and they raised a lot of issues, but mainly their issues were around the visa regime, but also the minister, the issues of Portugal, to add the mesh with the Minister of Home Affairs, and the issues on green, attended at the level, and the conversation that has already been reached between the two ministries, particularly that they are trying to increase capacity in those countries that do not have, particularly in China and India. But also, there is a lot of information about that, and I've seen one reading some documents that the Department of Home Affairs, for example, will be meeting the airline, and so on. So, this is an ongoing issue that the Department of Home Affairs is addressing. But we will keep the chairperson informed about the development in this department whenever it is necessary to give updates on this issue. And then there was a discussion around, starting from page 4, around the issues, because they were looking at some of the climate change that we have in South Africa, and they are declining particularly, the UK market, and say, why is it taking end? And there were a lot of issues, but I think what came out was that it's not that the market is declining as such, but that it's not growing. And then there was a lot of discussion with SAT to say that they need to increase their capacity in terms of facilitating generation of employees from that market. Then there was a discussion also around the issue of preserving rhinos, the industry, because such as mainly your operators, they are the ones that generate tourists from, particularly for your foreign market. And as South Africa, we are still big on your Dakar, your big bike. So that's why the market South Africa is also now industry worried about what is happening with the whole issue of rhino poaching. So there were two very interesting presenters. The one was for the rhino case and the other one was against. So it was an open debate that said in terms of those that are pro-chasing, they are saying to cap poaching, you need to legalize rhino chasing, because there are people are eating this rhino, so you need to legalize it so that you try and scale down on poaching. But those that are against, they are saying, if you legalize it and you put this rhino horn out, the people in the eastern market, so you are increasing demand. So if the demand is not met, it means we are inviting more people to come to South Africa. So that's an open debate like that, but the industry really is that. So I think for you members, but maybe later, I think we'll be discussing with the UK programming, because we have other very interesting groups that I think members need to interact with, like your hunter association, for example, because they have breeders of these big bikes in mind, and also have people who are hunters. So that's a very strong market, and they make a lot of money out of that. So it's an environmental management issue, but it has a big effect on tourism. So later, within your time, we will be inviting them so that you can have engagement with these breeders and the hunters. And then there was a discussion around the BEE code. And the Department of Trade and Industry has issued the new generic code for all the economic sectors in the country. So what is expected from all the government departments is to generate their own sector code. Currently we have a tourism sector code that we are using in order to streamline BEE and share compliance. But by the 50, by the 1st of April this year, so all the departments must have established or developed their own sector code. So what is currently happening, the department is contracting with all the provinces in terms of establishing these new sector codes. They have all of been in contact with the Tourism Business Council, because what happened before, through the Tourism Business Council, there were a very strong submissions from the industry that was cooperated and later became tourism sector. So that is what is currently happening. But also in programming through the chair, the department will be requested to come before the code is accepted, is approved. The department will come and inform and discuss with members what is coming in the new code. Because if you look at the threshold, for example, they have increased the reach with the current code, and November the milk was the threshold was for all sectors at 5 million, but because of what the Brexit Council of 27, a lot of smaller enterprises in the business, so they could not reach their threshold, which was reduced to 2.5. So that automatically meant most of the tourism businesses are level 4 for the business, therefore they comply with transformation without having to go really through assessment in terms of the code. But with the new VEE code that is out there from GI, for example, you have issues of procurement, which are very big way the industry will now be forced to procure from your local. So the whole value chain is not just through the tourism sector, the whole value chain. So that will assist not costing, but facilitating transformation in a way. And also the issue of employment, for example, the new code, the industries must employ a certain 5% not from the local law, which will deal with some of the issues that have been raised even during the public speech about the industry employing more of your foreign nationals, but to investors and so on. So these are the things that it's taken you to engage on, but come up eventually with the court, and the department is currently undergoing a consultation process. And lastly, there was a discussion about the small businesses and how people survive as small enterprises. So this was not just a discussion, and I think the issues that were raised are in the report, and I won't go in detail. So we just made some recommendations at the end there to say from this, maybe the public project SME development, because the department from that discussion on SME does not have like a focus package on SME, maybe the part you need to engage them and they come here to say, what can arrangements to streamline SME development, and also looking at the issue of co-operators, because if you look at who attended that meeting, it's mostly your co-operators and the issues of transformation that also said we are talking about. It was clearly in that meeting that you need maybe to facilitate more transformation, because that is where most of the money is made in the tourism industry, with these facilitators of transit. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. That was just information.
Sorry, Chairperson. I just want to refer to the recommendations. I just want to look at 10.1.1. Given the urgency of the new immigration regulation, is it possible for the committee to push for a date for the department to come to the committee? Otherwise, it remains an open-ended invitation, and we wait and we wait and we wait. I'm just putting it on record that there's no fixed date, but there is a recommendation that the portfolio committee requests the department to provide a briefing on national statistics. So I think that is quite an urgent matter, and if the scheduling allows, if that can be considered. The other point is, just also for noting, at the last meeting we discussed the late arrival of documents, etc. I received a pack yesterday evening at office 4 in the afternoon, and that might have been our office, I'm not sure. But perhaps the committee could take a decision that by Wednesday evening, at the latest, we get documentation so that we can consider it thoroughly. Otherwise, you know, you sit at your desk until 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, which is fine. It would just be easier if we had the day before. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, thanks for the briefing to you. It's also on recommendation. I would ask the committee to consider one additional recommendation, would be 714. And it's in the light of the current session 3, where the problem is identified of the less than adequate increase in numbers from people from the United Kingdom visiting our country, which is a big one because that's one of our biggest sources of international tourism. And the report under that section makes a number of references to the fact that we simply do not have enough funds to properly mark the country in that very important potential tourist source. And I'd like to add on one point which I think flows from that section 3 to the recommendation 714, which should read that the department should establish the net effect on the fiscus should the advertising budget for eco-tourism be doubled. So let's take a look at the numbers. If we're going to spend another 700 million on advertising our country and our places, what would be the net effect? What would we recover in terms of banks and tax receipts as a result of extra business? Then we know the answer, and then we can actually, if that means we get back almost as much or the same as we're spending, we can then, with a degree of certainty, ask for that budget to be doubled, knowing that it's not going to come with other budgets that the government has to appropriate to fund them. I like that extra line in there as a reservation, so I think those are the answers we need, and the report actually identified those with each problem.
Thank you for the detailed information, because this was the information, but out of this information, there are issues that need to be addressed, and I think the government will address them sooner or later. And the issue of Home Affairs will look into it. We may just invite the minister, we will listen to you. We have a
Now, just on that, according to the agenda, we are supposed to be having this report and we're supposed to be considering it in the committee. I hear what you say, but I really think we need to amend the report in the light of, you know, what my colleague has said, well, first I would like this committee to consider adding an extra line, because it's a nice committee, but the strength of actually having a report that we have jointly adopted as a committee, across party lines, I think it's immeasurably more forceful if we do that. But I really, not as I am, we'll do this anyway, I just think it says something as the Guardianism Committee says, we recognize the importance of the immigration or the proposed immigration regulations, as my colleague has said, and we recognize and we need a cost-benefit analysis to see what would happen if we double the advertising section of the national tourism budget through eco-tourism. And then we can address it as a committee and then it doesn't become a party thing for football.
I appreciate that. That we should look at branding or improving our branding or improving our way of doing business so that we've got the countries that have been coming here and that has been sort of supporting tourism by coming to South Africa improved rather than downward slope and to look into the immigration regulation and the asset tourism. We'll follow that up and the committee is agreeing on those two things in particular because they affect both of them sort of affect our destination. You can capture it. In front of us also, there is a bilateral agreement between South Africa and Saudi Arabia. It was done by the previous minister. It was issued on the 26th of August. So it has to be tabled so that it's adopted. And I don't know whether all the members are ready. If you can, all the members can read it, then we decide when to take it. But it's also stated that the two ministers, if the minister signs bilateral, that's acceptable. So we have to look at it, maybe to give time to put everything and yeah.
We have read it. We don't see anything controversial and it would appear to be centered around consensually based methodology of resolving any differences that might arise between us and Saudi Arabia, which is merely stating that we want a good working relationship and work things out. and secondly, an exchange of information and best practice ideas, which would appear to be sending all of the farms by email. So it doesn't appear to be major financial implications at all, and it is what we want to do, establish good bilateral tourism relations over the country. I, from the international point of view, we're happy to agree to the committee having the right now. I don't know whether the other committee members have it, but it has been specified by the ACC, as you said. And I assume that everybody had heard it in preparation for today's meeting. No problem from our side.
And this is not a at all.
Just one additional point. Honourable Foster's raised with the Minister in the meeting and in his budget debate speech that a number of MOUs that exist between the Department and other countries are effectively dormant. They're not active, they're not an asset that's waiting for tourism. So while we support the intention of the MOU, we need to be aware as a committee that when we find agreements with other countries, we need to make those agreements work for the country. We need to make sure that there's an active movement of tourism into South Africa and vice versa, that relationship works. Because I believe that as it stands, the memorandums of understanding that exist are not producing, are not all producing the results that we would like to see out of the agreements. And as you can see, it's taken a long time for us to get there. It's a lot of work, it's a lot of delay. And while it may have positive international relations implications, the bottom line for us as a committee is to make sure that our bottom line, which is tourism arrivals, is effective policy. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
I want to come in and talk about the memorandum of understanding between our country and other countries and just say that we would just encourage that where there is a country showing interest to have bilaterals and work with South Africa, we then request tourism South Africa to actually do much marketing there, because it's one thing to have a working relation, but if it depends on the tourists in that country who would want to come visit South Africa. But then if extended marketing is done in this country, it would encourage tourists to come to our country. And I will just put the emphasis on us, on our marketing strategies, to say, let's look at the countries which we have memorandums of understanding with, to actually see how is our marketing tool and analyze and see how we are doing in the marketing or how we are doing in terms of the tourist arrivals in our country. Well, we might have a memorandum of understanding with Guinea, and you find that tourists are not coming home. So what then do you do? Do you actually buy something which is not there? Because countries do sign these agreements, but and also there are rules of it tells that we are in a good work relation with this country. But I just want to keep it there, Jefferson, and not put in too much things into memorandum of understanding with other countries. And then what is really on paper with the country and our country.
Thank you for the input.
My wife would say, through your office, Shepherdson, as we were thinking, maybe the department needs to come just written numbers of the complaint they are mobilized. But there's quite a lot of them. This is just one little table. But there's quite a lot of them, so that you can understand which countries have been signed, either by others, there's a lot of these agreements, I would say. So as part of this information sharing kind of briefing, so the department, if the office of the chair allows, we will come here and bring members on all of them, that's briefly, and also a first stage of implementation, the department is with Barenka, so that
maybe some of these issues, remember, are raising actually applied in the meditation.
Thank you. And about that, that's the very point I was going to raise. Every weekend we can do that when we find the time to do so. We call the department to come and present it to the committee, all the MOUs, those that are active, those that are funded, and all of that, all that information as well.
I think we will follow up on that to encourage tourism to the country, and the president and the director just to give us greetings. So we know what work has been done on the various memoranda or agreements. Can you put his address? Thank you. Then committee meeting. Look at page 1. Anything in page 1?
Thank you. A second correction is bullet point 2. The Department of Defense, the Provider of Health Service, can get doing and also completing the standards to the following three. It seems that this is a while that there's some page 32.
And this is really nice. Sure. I think the first one the two, the fourth one two should change to in.
Yes.
That's what I think. Yeah.
On the head of the phone. I will speak out to what could have this what missing thing. If not my function. Bullet point two.
Any more?
I wasn't the meeting, but the first bullet under 6.3 in the second last line, there's a word missing. I suspect the word missing is more. It might be more expensive if my condom can not. But I wasn't the meeting, so I may be wrong, but that sentence is currently constituted in the
notice.
For
bullet
one?
Yeah.
End of the third one.
Expensive to fly in our own.
that's the case, then it's what I suspected, but you need to draw the comparison, and I tend to do that. So should actually say it might be more expensive to apply from German cancer, not it might be expensive, it might not be.
Yeah, because
they
have some
language they can't use. Yeah, they need to add the word more, otherwise it doesn't
make
The third bullet point, the top of every paragraph, ends with con and.
Oh,
yeah. So I don't know if it was something and something, or if it was supposed to be a full stop. To follow on the next bullet point. Yeah, but in the other bullet it's the and, that's why I was just confused that maybe there was a missing section. And if it's supposed to be a semicolon, I don't know how the Thompson levy is linked to the
fifth.
Is either a full stop of the subscript or an and something.
So we're putting the full stop at this first. And then, rest of the piece?
Yeah, that's where you're for the first page, my baby, that's what I've been missing. You're missing an end on the first page, this is where you ended up. You found it, so now it's going to be relocated.
Okay, anything more before I come back to you? Can we have the minutes addressing the question? Proposed?
Motion.
No, I'm not proposing, I'm just
doing what propose. I propose addressing the minutes of the subject of the minutes of the subject with the question.
I'll take it as a minute of the question.
Thank you very much.
My next one. Yeah.
See you, Cindy.
Have a good weekend and don't work so hard.
Thank you. I'm nursing a cold in this way.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very good.
Thank you.